So what do you call something that's a slice of the show that was previously just a slice of the other show? Now this is like an intermission bite.
The inter.
This is the submission.
The submission. There we go.
That's great.
I'm down for that.
Kinky.
Submission.
Right? All right. Yes. We wanted to have, we mentioned this on episode 18 of the intermission where we're talking about movies over what we saw over Christmas, that Eddie brought up Red State, which I also saw and Brian saw. And I have a very strong opinion about it. I think Eddie does too. But before we do anything, we just want to set up our opinions on it. I saw Red State. I think Dave Klein walks away with Red State. The guy who shot all of Kevin Smith's movies, and most of them look pretty bad, especially the early ones, Clerks, stuff like that. Dave Klein apparently went off and became a fucking DP, because that movie is good looking. And I'm a big fan of John Goodman. I walk away from that movie being really angry at Kevin Smith for a reason that it's the sort of thing where we'll get into that. Brian, how did you feel about Red State?
It is a far, far from perfect film. Had this been Kevin Smith's first or early foray into film, I'd be like, wow, this guy is going somewhere, and I can't wait for him to, you know, get a couple under his belt and then really come
up
with
something.
So he can make a real movie, yeah. So on that level, I was actually impressed, because there's stuff in there that I like.
It was a whole new Kevin Smith.
It absolutely is a whole new Kevin Smith, and it's Kevin Smith really trying to make a movie, as opposed to Kevin Smith kind of doing a little jig in front of the camera as Silent Bob, and, you know, cashing the paycheck and going home. So overall, I don't think it comes together as a full movie, but there are individual pieces of it that I go, wow, good job, Kevin Smith. If you want to keep going like that and keep working on it.
No, I don't. Fuck you.
Well, yeah, that's the issue. But yes.
Edouard Doty.
Yeah. I despise this movie.
Good man.
I despise everything about it.
Good man.
I'm not impressed with it.
At all. Wow.
And you know what? Since you've already summarized, you should go ahead and start off the rant.
Okay.
frame your problems.
In one sentence, this movie made me mad and sad. And that's as much as articulate as I can get with it. But to expound on that point, when I first saw Clerks, I was 18 years old, and I was stationed in Alabama, and it was just me in my buddy's room, and we were watching it, and that movie to me was like a revelation. Yeah, it wasn't shot that great, but like for the first time in my life, I saw characters on the screen talking like people I knew, and it was a different kind of take. It was obviously its own world, but I'm like, wow, this guy has his finger on the pulse of something. And he's much like Slacker did, he's showing a movie that, or, a side of humanity that doesn't normally get to make it to screen. He's showing people how certain people really talk.
Finally, a movie from my generation.
Kind of, but like not even just that, but just like, he did it in an interesting way. And I was a huge Kevin Smith nut for a couple of years in my film school days. And then as time went on, his filmography expanded. I became less passionate about his work, but always respected what he did and what would try to do. He stuck with what he knew. I think Red State was the most insecure movie I've ever seen being made. I think he had lost complete confidence in his abilities and yet gained confidence in a skill set and in a genre that he has no talent, no ability with.
He bought into all his press the exact wrong way.
Yeah, and so therefore, he basically said, I'm the guy who made one movie and got all this critical acclaim in a certain genre. I can hit the reset button and make a movie in a genre that I've little studied, let alone practiced in, and get it all right the first time out. That's what the movie felt like to me. If I get down to details, I thought the opening scene where the kids are in school and talking, I looked at that, I'm like, no kid talks like that. No kid talks like that. And I'm just like, wow, Kevin Smith, Kevin Smith feels 40 here. He feels and not just 40, because there's some cool fucking 40-year-olds out there. But like Kevin Smith felt like, I know, right?
We know a really cool.
And who the fuck am I? I'm 33. I'm not like, you know. My point is that there are 40-year-olds, let me just say this, who can get the voice of a teenager well. You know, I think when Diablo Cody hits 40, she'll still understand what an 18-year-old of that time period will talk like. Kevin Smith completely lost the plot. Secondly, the Michael Parks character, Michael Parks, like, does the best he can with that material.
As a performance.
I think he is one mustache twirl away from complete cartoon villainy. At no point was I intimidated by his character. At one point was I felt any emotional reaction to anything he was fucking saying. I think that that church, the church that they belong to and what they do completely misses the point of the Phelps thing. Like, it completely misses the whole point of, like, what
it does. I will agree with that.
Of what the danger of a Fred Phelps.
What is scary about Fred Phelps?
What's scary about?
Oh, okay. Well,
go ahead.
The real, I do not hate this movie nearly as much as you do. Wow. I'm rather surprised. But the actual modus operandi of the Phelps clan, of the whole Westboro Baptist Church, is there.
These are the guys that are like.
The real guys, they're the ones that will go and protest military funerals and say God hates fags and all that thing. Their real modus operandi, the real reason they exist, is basically to be professional trolls. They will go there, they will do those things at military funerals or wherever else, and be as risible as they possibly can be in the hopes that somebody will punch them and, you know, key their cars and throw rocks at them and whatever, and then sue those people. That is why.
That's how they make their living.
That's how they make their living. That is why the Phelps clan and the whole Westboro Baptist Church exists, to do that.
Professional trolls.
Professional trolls, yes. And so Red State's attempt to try to do
to
the Phelps things and give them teeth misses the point of the Phelps thing in real life. Right. I will completely agree with that.
Yeah. And I think, and trying to make a villain out of that, and try, and like, not only that, but like the Melissa Leo character, where to begin?
I've never seen Eddie look flabbergasted.
This movie astonished me. Like, I couldn't believe
Kevin Pollak was in that movie too. By the way,
yes.
Did you notice?
And John Goodman.
And I love Kevin
Pollak's
what he does in that film. It's so brief, but it's great.
Yeah. As if he said, "Paw, look, a mailbox."
But the thing is, and then to say, and then to, play with convention, play with structure, do whatever you want to do, fine, but fucking come correct. And to have that tonal shift halfway through and to make the movie about suddenly something else that it, like, that interested me less than the first half of the movie. And at that point, and then the whole escape and everything, scene by scene, I really felt like someone was making and editing this movie in real time.
Yep.
Like, I felt like as soon as the ideas came off of his head, someone was actually freezing time and doing that thing so that as he was saying shit, the movie was being made. And it had, it showed to me a lack of discipline conceptually. It showed to me there you go. They shot a pitch, as Trey says. And they were, it showed a hubris, a lack of humility, like on par with George Lucas.
Wow. I agree. I think Kevin Smith has found an incredibly weird, now I like Kevin Smith personally. I think he's a better public speaker than many public speakers. And certainly a better public speaker than a filmmaker, but I like Kevin Smith personally. But I think he's occupied a really, really interesting niche in terms of perception, at least up until the Red State fiasco, where he was kind of a douchebag. But and the Southwest.
Are you talking about the Red State distribution fiasco?
Yeah, we'll talk. Okay. We can talk about that if you want to. But
the thing about that
is he occupies the space where he is hyper accessible and down to earth, while he is simultaneously.
Really,
a semi egomaniacal nutball
and insanely sensitive,
and insanely
sensitive to
criticism. He's kind of a pro butthurt.
There's a fighter. There's an MMA fighter I used to have to watch. I didn't particularly pay to watch him. His name was Phil Baroni, and he was the New York badass. And he came out and he hit very hard and he hit very quickly. But if he couldn't knock you out in 2 minutes, he usually lost because he didn't have much beyond that. But occasionally,
he just had the power of the punch.
Occasionally, he would clock a dude and knock him out. And you could tell, you could see it in his post-ring celebrations or what he would say when he lost. His entire self-worth and self-image depended on his fight. So when he would win, he would run around in circles like a fucking hyena, jump to the top of the cage and scream, "I'm the best! I'm the fucking best!" And then if he lost, he would write an email, "I'm sorry I let everyone down. I'm sorry I suck." And that is what Kevin Smith has become, and nothing makes me sadder. And like it's... People, the 10 people
because
who,
what you expect out of Kevin Smith is self-aware.
Yeah, and he
presents as self-aware.
Exactly. And that was the Kevin Smith I was introduced to. Like, because Clerks, when you look at it, it's also a self-indictment of that generation. That's what I found like kind of refreshing about it, is that they weren't just saying, "Oh, isn't it cool that we're like this and we're making all these Star Wars references." At the end of the day, they were questioning themselves, and you see that in some of his
Clerks
early movies.
Clerks is very clearly him, you know, doing a post-mortem on a relationship, he was going, you know, "I should have been happy and I wasn't
because
I'm
of
fucked
this
up." Yeah.
It's amazing, like, how, I don't know if it's success or his station in life or whatever, but he has lost a maturity that he showed. Yeah, that he showed early on in his life. And through this movie, I mean, just from the first death, because, I mean, it's no spoiler, there's deaths in this movie.
I'm about to spoil the fuck out of Red State for everybody, so fair warning.
So
he's not spoiling you now, so you're fine.
In the first death, I think it was once I saw the first death happen, I'm like, you're trying to be ugly for the sake of being ugly. You're trying to show something horrific
with
for the sake of
with the cross and the cellophane
with
and all
the
that?
Cross and the cellophane and the gun and like and it's you think you're being creative like in a Saw sort of way, but it's not. I've seen elements of like, oh, I can do Saw. Oh, I can do this. I can do another indie thing with shaky cam. I can, you know, I can change up my color palette. Like, I mean, it's like he was making this movie to convince himself he could.
The central premise of what I read as the impetus to do Red State, the central premise is I want to prove to everyone that I'm not just a great writer.
Yeah.
I have a beef with both halves of that.
I still got it. Yeah.
I want to prove to everyone that I'm not just a great writer. Okay, well, A, no one expects you to, but B, you're not. And C, you're not a great writer. I Chasing Amy is a pretty awful script, and it's a pretty awful read of how the gay culture works. It's not good at anything that it's doing.
It's an answer.
It plays real. It hits you in the face with itself.
Yeah, I would say it's an antiquated look at LGBT culture from a straight male perspective. But there are some emotional notes that hit high in there.
There's good moments in Chasing Amy.
I think that's okay, though.
I think Dogma is his best movie.
Because the movie's about a guy coming to grips with it.
I think Dogma is a very solid script. But yeah. I think Chasing Amy is fine in that regard because it... Ben Affleck is the main character. He's a straight guy
coming to grips with
the LGBT.
And in my opinion, had a very brave ending. Like that was a brave ending to end a movie on. Like it was just like
I thought it was a massive sellout that she's gay. She's fucking gay. Nah,
she wasn't always gay, and that's believable. That's,
no, that's the
that's
thing.
Real.
Well, I used to say that. I used to say that, but at one of his Q&As, a lesbian lady stood up and said, "So is the." Am I missing something, or is the premise of Chasing Amy all I need is some serious deep dicking and I'll be straight again? And what Kevin Smith said. What he should have said is, she was bi who swore off guys. She was not gay.
Yeah.
What he said was, well, you know, we did put those words in the stupid character's mouth.
Right.
So,
who also say the smartest thing later on in the movie.
Right.
So
it's like, well, if you... Anyway, the premise of Red State, what seemed like the premise behind his, I will write this, is I want to prove to them that I'm not just a great writer. And it's like, don't overreach. Also, what?
I don't see the point of it, and yet like it was self congratulatory and masturbatory.
Weird.
And you know again I hate to keep name dropping, but Drew made a great point on HitFix where he said he was doing his best of the rest of the best things of 2011. He brought up Louis C.K.'s recent stand up that you could buy for $5. He funded it himself, cut it himself because he's actually a really good editor. He cuts his own TV show.
Yeah,
and he basically he didn't make a big fanfare about it. Didn't make a big stink. It wasn't until the product was done, and he said, "Hey, here's the thing. If you like it, buy it. If not, great." And he made $2 million on it, and everyone profited. He paid off the debts. He gave his staff bonuses. Like
he gave half of it to charity.
He gave half of it to charity. Quarters. He quartered it up.
Yeah.
If you've seen the stand up, there's some edgy fucking shit in there. There's some like stuff where I'm like, whoa, it's funny and it's rewarding. And I think that's what Kevin Smith was trying to do. He's trying to say, I'm edgy. I have a voice that is relevant, and I'm gonna fuck everybody else and make a business model that works for me for the new generation. I'm going where the puck is going, as he is wont to say.
Now you're talking about the distribution fiasco.
The distribution fiasco that was the Sundance, and I've talked to multiple people who were in that room.
Let's get to that after my thing, because mine's another story thing, and then we'll get into that. It'll be fun. But if you care, this is it. This is where I'm gonna just tell you what happens in Red State. Okay, Red State is basically about these kids go to they're high school kids. They're not real high school kids, but they're high school kids. They find an ad. They're going to go have sex with this lady in a trailer. That lady was actually a plant. They get held hostage by this crazy-ass church. One of them gets killed at the church, and the other one is, like, panicking because it's this weirdo culty thing. Kind of Waco-ish, kind of Fred Phelps-ish, that sort of thing. And then, after a certain amount of time, John Goodman and his team of FBI guys are going to come, and it's going to become this Waco thing where now it's the church trying to defend itself from inside its fenciness, and those guys are firing in, and this guy is just trying to escape alive, is basically the point of Red State. And that happens for a little while. They're trying to do their thing, shooting, you know, out of the windows, and the guys are getting shot, and everyone's dying, and it's really fucking scary and tense and all those things that he thought it was going to be. And then, as the tension's rising, at one point, it's basically come to this where the standoff is happening between the Fred Phelps guy and the FBI guy, and all the guns are trained on each other. They've come out, and it's like kind of like, what are they? Are they going to like explode now? What are they going to do? And all of a sudden, you hear this overpowering. It's basically the rapture. You're hearing this massive world size trombone. It's like that was the moment where I was like, holy shit, this just got interesting. And then Kevin Smith spends the rest of the movie writing his way out of having to do that.
Okay, hang on, though.
He wrote the ending. He didn't do it.
No, no, no. Had that actually been The Rapture, you would have hated that movie, and I would have, because I hated for 30 seconds going, if he's actually going to pull The Rapture out here in the third act, fuck you. But he didn't. I like what he did there. He pulled a great reversal.
He basically got to the scene, and Eddie was saying, it's like they're making this movie.
I'll grant you that reversal is not set up in any way, shape, or form. It just comes out of nowhere.
Well, yeah, but at that point, it's like I'm okay. They're all gonna die in a movie. Let's finish this up, please. But it's like all of a sudden you hear the fucking Four Horsemen, and I'm like, well, this just got weird because everything is set up to make you think this is realistic. This is basically kind of docky looking and a shaky cam and high shutter speed, and all of a sudden it's like, really? And then it turns out, no, there was just some guys down the hill that were kind of mad at those guys, so they plugged a guitar into an amp and played it really loud, and it would scare them. We thought it would be The Rapture, blah, 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 blah. And that comes out over the course of a 45-minute monologue that John Goodman gives, which is fucking, it's like a distillation of the thing that Kevin Smith always does, which is he takes the idea, and then he gives it, basically, I don't want to say this idea outright because I've heard that subtext is good, so he'll give the character who wants to reveal this idea a giant monologue about something else. And have that be the thing. So over the course of this, you know, 5 minute, I had these dogs, and one day the dogs bit, kind of fucking monologue that goes off. Gary Sinise did it in 30 seconds in Green Mile. For like 8 minutes, and then at the end it's like, so, God is man. And then credits. And then, you know, and it's fucking, it just felt like, you didn't even, you literally could have not done that, and it wouldn't have changed the movie.
That is a tried and true literary and cinematic technique, though. And I'll grant you that Kevin Smith doesn't know exactly when to end it, and maybe he ends it 3 pages too late. But I really can't see you faulting him that harshly for doing something that every other filmmaker and screenwriter has done in the history of movies.
In the play, well, he could have not done that trope, and not done the thing that's like, I'm about to get, you did not see this fucking coming, you don't know what's going to happen next, it just got weird. In this weirdo, cheap-ass documentary movie, all of a sudden, the rapture's about to happen. He could have not done both of those things, and finish the movie with whatever the first two-thirds were looking like they were going to be. He did both.
Right.
Now, here's the original ending, according to Wiki, and thank you for Owen Ward for pointing this out, because I had never seen this. I didn't know this was a thing. During various interactive Q&As for the film, Smith has stated that the original ending actually continued through with the trumpets signaling the rapture. After Cooper tells Kanan to shoot him, Cooper's chest explodes, followed by the remaining family members' chests exploding one by one, and then the remaining agents' chests explode one by one. During these deaths, the ground shakes and splits, and Kanan curls up on the ground and closes his eyes. When he opens his eyes, he sees that the last agent killed with a giant sword coming out of his chest, which is being wielded by an enormous armored angel. The angel looks at Kanan, puts a finger to his lips, and says, shh. The angel then flies into the sky, and the angel banks off out of the picture. The Four Horsemen Apocalypse Descent.
See, that,
I'm like, what just happened? All right, fucking wow.
That movie, I would have said fuck all the way you guys are saying fuck all of this movie.
The reason I'm saying fuck all this movie, for one of many, if I sum it up in a phrase, it's too clever by half. And it's the whole thing with John, I'm glad you brought up John Goodman's dog speech. Because he spends 45 minutes talking about how two dogs brawling are the summation of man's treatment and how beliefs...
Something.
No, how the beliefs of a human being can cause humans to behave like animals. Is this not established in the Fred Phelps character? His whole opening monologue before he kills somebody.
I didn't even bring that up, but that's a 20-minute
That scene...
That, completely fair, is
it illustrates,
5 times longer than it needs to be.
Well, not only that, but it illustrates the same point. It illustrates the same point by him doing this thing. It's like, oh, wow, he believes something so strongly he does some pretty heinous things. I spend the rest of the movie building up to somebody else saying, wow, you know what? When people believe crazy shit, they do crazy things. Thanks, movie. Like, I mean, I just, you know.
In the chat room, Farley says, Kevin Smith likes to take 30 minutes to make his Easy Mac. Go Farley.
That's, yeah, and probably add like a bunch of spices and all this other stuff, and then it ends up just being, well, the flavor packet probably would have done you better. You know, it's like you can try to recreate the Top Ramen flavor packet by adding peanut oil and soy sauce and all this other stuff. But unless you really know what you're doing, you're just going to make a bubbly mess. And that's, Red State is a bubbly mess of horribly made Top Ramen.
Yeah.
And what should have been a disposable, fun, campy horror movie with a dark humor twist I think Kevin Smith was fully capable of making, he decided to just say, fuck you, I'll do what I want. Like, He's like that precocious teen that just you sort of go like, well, you know, you really should.
You should put on your seatbelt.
You should probably put your seatbelt on that drink. Like, fuck you, I'll do. You know, it's like, well,
two
okay,
teens were found dead today. And
yeah, and the teens are his legacy. Sadly, I hate to say it. Like his legacy now is some guy who I don't know, hit somebody, maybe great. I don't know. I'll always like Clerks, but like I feel like. I feel like, you know, and sort of, again, I saw him at the very, I saw Clerks at the very beginning of my sort of path, you know, my journey down this path of movie making. I've seen him speak at the Academy. I've bought his DVDs. I've supported him. And as I've grown, and as a human being, and as a, you know, a person who aspires to be a filmmaker and someone who works in the craft, I've seen a complete
change in him.
De-evolution.
I thought of something. I want to bring this up. With regards to what Brian said, where you would not like that ending. Here's an argument for why I think that could have worked. Because what's the point of the movie? He's doing a throwbacky horror, locked in a room, everyone dies kind of campy movie, and he's trying to put a spin on it by saying the real horror is human nature, which has been done. But those exploitation movies often would go just like, fucking, what did the ending just do? Where you're spending the entire time like, okay, it's going to be a fucking, they razzle in the house and eventually everyone has bullets in them. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, and then God came out. Credits. It's like, oh. Okay. Wow. Guys, we got to watch Red State. You won't believe this shit. I would actually like that more than, we're going to do this, they're razzling full of holes, and, you know, dogs are like people.
So you would like it more if...
I would like it more if it was, like, so wacky and completely out of nowhere that it's like, fucking, this is what it is. Instead, it wants to do that, but then it doesn't do it. Why even do that?
So maybe this is the issue. Maybe it's in this, like, uncanny valley of storytelling rules where it's not following the rules all the way so it's on the other end, but it's not quite breaking them enough that you go, wow, this is so terrible that this can't be fun.
That might be exactly right. Like I said, he does the two things, and he could have not done either of them. It's like having a sign that says, this sign is here. It's like, well, it's a tautological thing. He didn't have to do the trumpets, and then he wouldn't have had to do the fucking speech. He could have just not wrote the trumpets thing. He could have literally hit the backspace key and then finished the movie. But he wrote that. He's like, that's too cool to not do. Shit, I want to do that. And then he wrote the end. And he's like, I can't do this ending. This is stupid. He backspaced, but he's like, but the trumpets is such a cool moment. You don't get to have that moment if you're not going to earn it.
And that's the issue. And that's the thing. It's like, I think that is a cool moment, and I don't mind the speech as much as you guys do, apparently. But ultimately, the failure of the film is that it's these a couple of cool ideas or half-brewed ideas and a couple of okay moments, and they're not connected. You know, we just did the Wrath of Khan commentary. You know, they're not connected in the way that every moment of Wrath of Khan is. Like, here's one story. Here is one thematic idea that I'm trying to convey. It's just
right.
Kind of a hodgepodge, and there's not really any discipline to craft and take away what doesn't need to be there to leave what does need to be there.
The biggest, you know, at the end of the day, the takeaway is like, I think Jay and Silent Bob is a fucking mess of a movie. I think Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back is a,
yeah,
is
I agree.
A,
yeah.
A bloody mess of a movie. With that said, there's like, I can, if I had to watch it again, I'd watch it and I'd be like, oh yeah, there's that moment. All right. And I'd probably watch it and I'd be like, oh, okay, there's this thing here. But like this movie, at the end of the day, I was just bored by it. Like I was just like, I didn't enjoy watching it. I had to watch it over a couple settings. I had to restart it a couple times. Like I had some movie I had to endure in order to get through, just to sit through and be able to form a cogent analysis of it. Like I was just not entertained by literally anything.
Was there any moment that you were like, okay, that was pretty cool?
I mean, you know, I like the color palette. I think the color palette really worked for the story they were trying to say.
I like the photography.
There's some of the photographers are
right.
You
guys didn't like the sequence at all where he's trying, you know, where they're,
The cellophane sequence?
The one kid is getting killed cellophane-wise. And
we basically just told you not to watch the movie and we spoiled it for you already. The moment we're talking about is the way they killed the first kid of the two kids that were hijacked.
Kidnapped.
Fucking hostage. Kidnapped. Is they basically, he's got like his arms tied down and then they wrap cellophane around him and a cross. So he's completely covered in cellophane like a cocoon.
And tied to the cross.
And then they hold a gun vertically down through his head.
To the crown, the crown of his head. Yeah.
Yeah. And shoot down so he doesn't bleed out.
And then they pack that up with cellophane and then they just wrap him and dump him.
They just roll him out. Yeah.
I say this in a post-Saw 44 world. Like, we've been through so many, like, movies where torture porn is like, hey, who's got the most creative death? And it's like,
I don't mean in terms of the creativity of the death scene. I mean in
the
terms
tension
of
worked.
The tension of the scene, of the sequence.
The tension worked.
I felt that scene, like, okay, again, there are pieces here and they don't connect well.
Right,
but in terms of that sequence standalone, I felt that sequence was fairly tense.
Bear in mind, he also put that at the far end of a 20-minute lecture about something you don't care about.
And that's totally
so
fair
you're
point.
Like, oh, something's happening. But I agree that it is actually a good tense moment.
And I
just because you're like, yep, they're gonna.
And I think there are a couple of moments like that through the film. So that for me at least is why I'm not like, fuck all this movie the way you guys are.
I mean, the reason why I'm like, fuck this movie is because I just, again, the tension.
You're starting to not like Kevin Smith. Is the problem?
Yeah, well, no,
personally,
it's not even. Just
did he sleep with your wife?
I said, I my hatred of this film exists on a plane, irrespective of Kevin Smith having anything to do with it. Then when you add on the second sheet cake layer of Kevin Smith directed this, then that's when my hate goes nuclear. But
and then you have the third stage, which is the way he presented himself about it.
Yeah, the way he really presented himself.
The whole distribution aspect.
Summarize that for the boys and girls who weren't following it at the time and going, Kevin, stop it.
Long story short, Kevin Smith made a big to-do that he had tried to get this movie financed on his own and that or through the studio system, and he didn't, and he went and did it with his own money, and he was bringing it to Sundance,
and he was saying it's like the all new kind of horror movie.
He's been talking about Red State for no less than 6 years. Like, he's been talking about Red State for a long time, since like Jersey Girl. He didn't even mention it, and so he said, I'm coming to Sundance with it, and I'm going to do it a little bit differently. I'm going to do it as a public auction. Essentially, people will want to distribute it, will bid on the rights to do it while we're there. So many of these people, keep in mind, are people he's known for years at Miramax, people he considers friends, you know, like people who like, I mean, they're people I've talked to who've been saying like, yeah, he have kind of known these people for a while. He gets them all in the room. Then he screens a film. They applaud, whatever. And some are like, okay, that's a movie. Certainly better than a lot of what plays at Sundance. And so then he, instead of going directly into the auction thing, he gives this big monologue wearing his Wayne Gretzky jersey about how Wayne Gretzky is his hero, and he saw this thing that changed his life, where Wayne Gretzky said, my father taught me to go where the puck is going, not where the puck is, and so therefore, if I try to do this through a distribution system, I'm going to spend four times the amount of money in marketing to have to make up, where if I just four-wall this thing, and let's be clear, that's all he's doing. His big revelatory idea is just four-walling his movie, where you self-distribute, and you just take it through the country, and you pay for your own screenings. That's all he's fucking talking about. Which has been happening since people have been filming things.
Yeah, that was the porn industry in the 60s.
Exactly. So then
that was the movie industry in the
10s. So then he goes on this big hateful, invective-filled thing where and you talk about me being bitter. I'm reflecting his bitterness because his bitterness showed in every fucking moment of this. And he gives this big to-do about it. And then when he is like, okay, now we're gonna start the bidding. Someone comes up and says, "I'm opening the bidding." Kevin Smith goes, "I bid $20." Sold to himself. And then he explains how this is what he's going to do. He's going to charge $60 to come to a screening where he will be at and do a live Q&A. So his hardcore fan base will pay $60 to watch the movie
and
then hear him talk, which I've done. And yes, he's an entertaining public speaker. He tells, in my opinion, he's gone downhill a little bit in the last few years, but like he'll do his whole public speaking bit. He'll take it to college campuses, all the towns where he's popular at, and yeah, he made some money back on it. When I say compare it to what Louis C.K. did, Louis C.K.
just did it
for $5, and I would argue like Louis C.K.'s audience base is as passionate as Kevin Smith's, maybe not the same size, but it's
ultimately a matter of presentation and psychology. Louis C.K. said, I'm going to try this thing. Let's see if it works or not.
What was really cool about it was he said, I'm going to put this out, and there's literally nothing standing between you and BitTorrent with this file. There's no DRM. It's just a QuickTime.
I'm just counting on you.
Please don't do that.
I'm counting on you to pay, and people have paid. And not only that, and here's the thing. People say, oh, it's just a stand-up special, not a movie. It's the way Louis works and the way a lot of people work, they spend a year crafting bits, painfully, like structuring
stuff. Joke by joke.
It may seem like...
He wrote an hour of comedy.
Yeah, like that's a thing. That's a fucking thing. That is as challenging for a human being as I would submit to write or direct a movie.
That's the thing that people... I'll just jump in.
Hi, Trey.
Hi. That's the thing that people don't recognize about stand-up comedy when you see that one-hour-long special. That's a year of touring.
Yeah.
That's a best-of year of touring, developing that material.
Silent
like,
dropping.
And tomorrow morning, square one.
Yep. Exactly. That,
now everyone is seen that entire routine.
I can't
do
it again.
The club anymore.
Yeah. And so when Kevin did that, the mood rightfully was a bit angry at Kevin. It's like, well, then why the fuck did you drag us all down here? So we could be yelled at by you, like we could be lectured by you about how we suck. I mean, and maybe that's true, but the point is you don't make it such a big spectacle about it. You'd endear more respect if you took an approach that I think Louis C.K. has shown is the proper way to do it.
Well, that was actually 30 minutes.
Shit.
But we'll say that was a submission. We don't want to put this on the... Because this is just blatantly spoiling a movie. So this will still be just on the forum, but we'll make sure that we reference it in the next intermission. I also have to point out that Sofa Dogs did a wonderful commentary of Red State. If you want to hear a commentary of it, we're not going to do one. But go to sofadogs.libsyn.com. Sofadogs.libsyn.com. That was a submission, and it's been exactly 30 minutes.
Submission.
Isn't that great? I told you.
Aren't we clever?
Yeah.
We're as clever as Kevin
Smith.
Hold on.
I'm patting myself on the back. Oh, okay.
My shoulder dislocated.